To the Scale or Fail Show. I am Allison Maslin, and I'm the founder of Pinnacle Global Network, and I love featuring amazing entrepreneurs on this show to help make the path to your success in your business so much easier. And today, we're going to be doing something a little bit different than we normally do, because the thing is, I'm always interviewing these incredible business experts, and you get to learn a lot about them and their expertise and their wisdom. But we're going to turn it around today, and I have an incredible guest, but she's going to interview me, because I have some important things I want to share with you about scaling, and how do you multiply your growth, and how do you multiply the number of people that you impact, and how do you multiply your profits and also have a life. We're going to share all of this content with you today, right here, right now on the Scale or Fail Show. Now, my guest host today is someone that I have great respect for. Her name is Melissa Woods, and Melissa is actually the director of mentoring in my company, Pinnacle Global Network. And actually, I like to say our company, because I really feel like this is a team managed company built on collaboration. And Melissa Woods has years and years of experience in the business world. She actually scaled a company called J.W. Tumbles, which was a children's gym that she franchised in many, many countries, over 40 locations. She knows business inside and out. So who better to have her here and interview me? So welcome, Melissa. Finally having you on the show after 10 years.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me. This is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to interviewing you.
I know. I'm going to peel back the curtain and share what has really created the success in our company, Pinnacle, and, you know, challenges and how to overcome them. Melissa is usually busy helping to lead our mentoring team with all of our incredible clients, business owner clients in Pinnacle. So she's taken the time to be on the show today. So let's dive in.
Okay. So Allison Maslin, you know, I am so excited to ask you a ton of questions that have been like percolating for as long as I've worked with you. And so here we go, without further ado. So here's the thing. I've been thinking about this a lot. So you've had 10 businesses. You've started 10 businesses. You've sold businesses. I'm so curious about what was it when you were like done with one business? How did you know you were actually done with the business and you were ready to move on?
Yeah, it's so interesting, because it's kind of hard to put into words. It was a feeling. You know that feeling when you just get to a point of a project or a phase in your life and you go, you know what? I have taken it as far as I possibly can. And for me, everything is driven by passion. And when I'm not feeling that passion, or if I feel like my mission is done, for me, I had to move on, because I couldn't manufacture and pretend the passion was there.
Totally. You know, I totally get that. And I think a lot of business owners don't stay in tune with their intuition. And so they end up staying longer than they should. But it definitely is something that you have to feel and then know when to move on.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when I had my homeopathic school, the Homeopathic Academy of Southern California. So I was had a homeopathic practice for 20 years. And during that time, I also built this 3-year certification program. And, you know, I felt called to do it, because I knew that if I was the only one in this like Southern California, San Diego area, helping people with homeopathy, I could only help so many people. So I felt called to build this school, and I ran it for 5 years. And then I felt like, okay, I've created this community here. There are other experts I've surrounded myself with, and they can take it from here. I felt like I had taken it as far as it could go. And it still runs today. And I sold that business in 2005. So that, you know, just felt wonderful that it was time to hand over the torch.
Yeah. So you actually scaled it is what you did. You scaled it at the right time. It's sort of what I did with JW Tumbles. It was like, I knew that what our program was, we could do it with so many other kids in so many different places. So that's awesome. So I'm super curious, what was the craziest business idea you've ever had?
Well, there have been many crazy businesses. I had one called The Bitter End. I think this was like in my darker period of life, but where we would spray flowers black, and it was like, for Halloween and, you know, things like that. It was sort of prankster kind of gifts and stuff like this. I mean, now I look it back and actually my mom reminded me of that when I totally forgot. I also was doing a noodle kugel business. So, and I did different flavors. So M&M's, peanut butter kugel, and if anyone knows me, this is the hilarious thing. I don't cook at all.
Right.
But I don't know. I must have had this, addiction.
Yeah. You probably perfected kugel.
I did. I was just eating it. Yeah. I put on some pounds back then too, but, so those were a few, I think, and honestly, with building all of the businesses that I had, they were an extension of what I was very passionate about at that time. So like I had a scuba diving certification business. I was super into scuba diving at the time. I still love it, but you know, it was time to move on from that. I actually, got in a serious relationship with this guy that was a scuba diving instructor at the time. So probably has a little thing going on there with that. I had a real estate investment company because I really got into that. So again, just sort of followed that. You could see the trajectory of my life with the different businesses that I had.
I think we need to make a map,
I know. Seriously.
I'll tell so much about you.
I know.
What your businesses have been. Seriously. Okay. So I'm going to flip it around here for a minute and I'm just going to ask you kind of more of a serious question. So, I know that just working with you for as many years as I worked with you, like any business, there's ebb and flows and there's been some challenging times that we've had. And I would love to know, and I bet everybody would love to know, like, where do you go where do you go in your head when you're in the middle of a huge challenge? And how do you gain resilience? I think resilience is such an important part of being a business owner. And I would just love to know.
In almost 40 years of business now, I have had many, many challenges. And the gift of the challenges is that, 99% of the time you get to the other side of it, which gives you historical data to know that you are going to prevail. And, being a single mom for 12 years, those were some really tough years and, trying to navigate all of that. Now that wasn't necessarily business, but I had to raise her. I had to, finance her, raising her and all of those things. And that was great education for me, of course. But, there have been many other times. There were times where I didn't have money for payroll and I had to quickly find a credit card that I could put payroll under. There have been times where we would do launches and the whole thing fell apart and you're putting all your time, your energy and money into it. I've been up against so many things. And I think what I've seen as a pattern, as I've gotten older and just really in self-examination, what I do now is I have a moment like everybody does where you go, oh my God. And then my mind immediately, like almost within a half a second, goes into, okay, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? And so, like, for instance, with the coronavirus, when that started coming down, and, you know, with Pinnacle Global Network, our business mentoring company, we lead events. And this is how we get a lot of our clients. And so immediately we were like, oh my gosh, what are we heading into here? And, you know, within like 3 days, the company came together. We created a virtual product. We created a virtual event. We had several this year, and it has transformed the company. So sometimes when you think that something is going in the wrong direction, you're not really seeing the big picture. And so, yeah, it's just jumping into action, finding the silver lining, and, you know, empowering yourself in the situation rather than letting it topple over you and being a victim of what is going on.
Oh my gosh. That's exactly what I do too. It's like, okay, I'm freaking out. Now what am I going to do about it? Right. Just,
yeah.
And it's almost, if you make it like a game, like, okay, how are we going to get through this one? You know, we've got.
Yeah. Well, you and I operate the same like this, because we've been through a lot of this together, and, you know, we're going in our 11th year now in Pinnacle, and Melissa and I have worked together now. Is it 5 years?
Over 5 years.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been through a lot of these, oh my God, moments. And it's like, you've got to put your detective hat on and really find that puzzle piece, because there's always, always a way out.
Always. And I find that, this has been a learned response after having gone through it so many times being a business owner, but I find that, that you just have to have a new story about it. Whatever's happening, instead of being like, this is happening to me, you make a new story around it that makes you feel better than what's happening in the moment. So, yes.
Yeah. And it usually, if we look back, all of those points where we've hit a wall, once we figure out, we get creative, because it forces you to get creative and to find a solution, it's always taken our company to a much higher level.
Definitely. And I feel you take the emotion out of it, like, and just look at the problem without the emotion, or that it's happening to you personally, it makes it easier to find a solution, for sure.
I mean, you know, when I was younger and not as mature, the tendency is you want to get into bed and hide under the covers, right? But hey, that gets you nowhere, and it ends up making the situation much, much worse. So I would rather deal with the elephant in the room and just take it on. Yeah. Head on.
Agreed. Okay. So on to the next question here. So what do you think the biggest obstacles that business owners have when it comes to wanting to scale their business?
Well, I would say the biggest obstacles are that we are in our own way. I would say probably two things. One is habit. And that is that we are creatures of habit. I mean, those of you that are listening right now, all the things that you've done today, how many times have you done those before that are just automatic? Like what you eat for breakfast, how you've driven to work, your rituals, things like that. We do things unconsciously. But when you're going to take your business to the next level and you're going to scale, you have to have new practices, new rituals, new habits. And you know, you've got to let go of the old. And a lot of business owners really struggle with that. You know, I've been there many times. We just navigate back to what we're comfortable with. What you've done will get you to a certain point that's been awesome. But when you're going to scale and start building a team, you can't be the control freak. You can't have your hands in everything, because you will choke the growth of your business. You absolutely can't scale that way. So I would say habit, and then being that control freak, which underlying really is fear, right? Mm-hmm. And then probably a third would be fear of rejection. That's a big one, especially in earlier stages of business, because you've got to put yourself out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you've got to be shameless in a sense, and you've got to share your passion. You got to speak up. You got to ask for the sale, and you need to be able to move on. Even if you, if people have said no, I mean, I did a lot of sales door to door prior to internet for my business. I had my portfolio and I would just literally go into people's offices and to show them my portfolio. And I really think, I mean, that was not easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was very shy.
Yeah.
Very shy.
Yeah.
And so that, but I, again, I was single mom. I had to figure out how to do it because I was horrible as an employee. So yeah. That, you know, having no money and knowing that I couldn't hold a job was the best motivation for me.
Yeah. I love that. So true. You know, I had a business too when I was in college called Melissa's Movable Lunches. And I was shy too. And I'd go into different office buildings and bring sandwiches and desserts to the people that worked in the office building. And I had to do the same thing. It was like cold calling. It was hard. It was good, but I, you know.
That's so great. I didn't know that about you. That's that's so awesome. Yeah, I do remember. And there were some incredible experiences in that. I remember I went into Merrill Lynch and I had, this was a business where I was taking pictures of the stockbrokers, and I was creating these caricatures where I'd hire the artist and create caricatures and do these greeting cards for them. And this one stockbroker, I think he must have felt sorry for me or something, but he invited me to his sales meeting. So it was my first presentation ever. I wish I had a video of that today because I stood in front of all these stockbrokers. They were probably all guys. I don't even know. I was so nervous. I don't really remember what I was seeing. And I knew nothing about sales except that I loved these things that I was making. And I got a ton of orders from doing that. And he ended up, when I moved to San Diego, because I was living in Tulsa where I grew up, he ended up introducing me to so many business owners when I came to San Diego. And that was all from walking in to a business that nobody knew who the heck I was.
Well, and I'm sure you walked in like you owned it. You know, that's, you just, even though you were like super nervous inside, you just had a visible appearance like you knew what you were doing. Like you just.
Yeah. I was having major conversations with myself, like smiling, going, oh my God, I'm so freaking scared. But yeah, you fake it till you make it. It's true.
So true. So true. Okay. Switching gears. Super interested in what made you start Pinnacle Global Network? Like, what was the whole thinking behind that idea and that business that it's become? It's become such an amazing business.
So I had been running my homeopathic practice for many years, and I had the gift of being able to help people transform their health, which transformed their life. And I was at a crux where I was ready for a change, and I didn't know what business I was going to do next. I thought of doing a restaurant. I thought of doing women's clothing line for golfers. I don't even like to golf. I don't know why. I just thought the clothes were so ugly. So I couldn't think of what I was going to do. And then I decided to just put it out to the universe that I would get a sign of what the next business would be. And as I was helping these people get healthy, over the years, they would say to me, Allison, you know, I feel so much better now from homeopathy. You know, what should I do next? And I would say, well, why don't you do a business in blah, 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 blah. And I would give them the steps. And they'd say, is it that easy? And I go, yeah. So once I put it out to the universe, I started getting lots of requests. And I had always had a coach myself. And I had seen that that had transformed my life. That was like the fast track to get me to where I wanted to go. But I hadn't thought of doing that for other people in the business coaching space. So I started doing that one-on-one. And But I knew that I could, again, like with the homeopathy, I could only help so many people if it was just me. And I had a client that had come to me, Joe Stumpf, who you know, who is the founder of By Referral Only, which is the largest real estate coaching company in the world. And he's like, Allison, you know, you really need to scale this. So we ended up going to lunch and he sort of mapped it out on a napkin for me, this idea of Pinnacle and doing a mastermind. And this was back in 2010 when you really weren't hearing much of that and about masterminds at the time. And so we sort of mapped out the format. And I knew the struggle that I had as a business owner, trying to manage it all, you know, having that clear cut direction and then, you know, you're networking over here and staying on top of technology and staying on top of the changes in the marketplace. So as Pinnacle evolved, I thought, what if we developed Pinnacle around this idea that everything is in one place that streamlines your life, that you have your business coaching, that you have the community so you don't have to do it all alone. But the thing that I really wanted to be different that was so important to me, and you know this because we've talked about this so many times, when I started coaching others, I was really surprised to find in the business coaching world that most of the business coaches were people that had just gone out and got certificates in coaching. And there's some great coaches out there. So don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing at all. But I knew for me, I always wanted to have a coach that had been there and done it. So as it was time for me to scale this team, and we have now, what, going on 14 coaches within Pinnacle Global Network that mentor our clients, I knew I wanted them to have business experience. I wanted that they have built a successful company. So the clients, they could relate to the clients' challenges. They'd been there, they'd done it. And so that really was the premise of Pinnacle Global Network, is reaching your pinnacle, helping business owners around the globe and being supported by this strategic advisor one-on-one, but also having this network and this community around you to lift you up. And it's, you know, our team is so dedicated to help people change their lives through business. So yeah. It's been an evolution.
Yes.
And you've been with me all this time now, going on 11 years.
Yeah.
But I couldn't be more excited about that, right? The momentum is happening and the thousands of business owners that we have helped over the years. So.
Yep. And so, you know, when I started with you over 5 years ago, and I was one of your coaches. I was one of the coaches, one of like three, right?
Yes.
Four, three maybe. And we've, between then and now, we've had so much growth. And so I am just like, what do you attribute that to, that growth that we've had?
Yeah, it's so interesting. I think that, well, there's a few things. One is that as an entrepreneur, it's so easy to have that shiny object syndrome. And believe me, look, 10 businesses. I am like the picture of the ADD entrepreneur that likes to, you know, oh, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. But I'm really proud about the fact that for a decade, we have stayed the course. We have stayed true to our vision of changing the world through business. We have stayed true to our model, although our model continues to elevate and evolve over the years. But that's really our revenue stream is Pinnacle Global Network. And, you know, we have some things within that. But I think that, you know, and I was guilty of this in the past, but a lot of business owners just, they get bored or they're not getting the results that they want fast enough. And then they just move on to something else. For us, I feel like now in a decade, we're just getting started, you know? And so it is staying the course. The other thing is, you know, our team, we've just grown exponentially and it's such a collaboration company. I mean, those of you listening, I mean, Melissa is so damn smart. She's an incredible business owner. I am not here to say that I have all the answers. I don't. They could honestly run this company without me, and that makes me very excited.
Yeah, so that's almost like the next question that I have sort of touches on that, which is like, what do you think, you know, we have an amazing team. And so what's the secret to our culture? Like, if we were able to describe it, because it really is unusual. It's an unusual culture. And the people that come in and work and begin to work in PGN behind the scenes, the mentors and just everybody that makes it happen, it's like, we never want to leave. Like, we would never leave. We would never even
be. I know. And it's so cool. It's just so cool. Well, and this kind of is another answer to what you asked me before too, is I believe that the reason that the team is so great and the success of Pinnacle is that our clients come first. And we are so dedicated in making sure that our business owners are thriving. And that's why we have such a high percentage of business owners that come back year after year after year. So we're going on our 11th year. We have clients that have been with us now for 10 years, you know, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and they don't leave. They don't want to leave. They call themselves lifers because they feel so supported and directed and guided, and their business continues to thrive even in a crazy time like COVID. But I think that our core values really are about integrity, do what you say you're going to do. And as much as we support our clients, we support the team and their individuality. I don't feel like it's a top-down company here. I don't even know that it's bottom-up. I just think it's, what would you call it, Melissa? It really is the team. They're all leaders. They're all leaders. And I don't have to babysit anybody. I don't want to. But even like with COVID, I didn't have to ask them to give our clients extra care when, you know what hit the fan. They jumped in because they lead with their passion. And that probably comes from just the passion that I've had.
Yes. I feel like because, you know, I'm an integral part of hiring mentors and training and developing mentors, I feel like we find people, we're very choosy about who we choose to be on our team from a mentoring standpoint, but they have to have the same values that we do. And that comes out in conversations that we have with them. So, you know, some of those, obviously integrity, you know, doing what you say you're going to do is so, so important. But also lifelong learners. Like, we all get to learn from each other, and no egos. I feel like that's like the bottom line. Like, there's just no room for ego here. You can't know everything.
Yeah.
And if you don't know everything, you know, that's what this team's for, because we help each other out.
It's not the guru. This is not a guru organization whatsoever. I mean, we have no toleration for that. And, you know, they're smart.
Yes.
They're just freaking smart. And they bring so much wisdom to the table with years of experience in building, selling, scaling companies. They care so much about our clients. The other thing too is just, we keep it fresh. We're always adding new things that up our game and the challenges. So it doesn't get boring. And I do feel like we've had that Wednesday meeting, Wednesday mornings for 2 hours for years. I think we started that meeting long before you came on, Melissa. I think it's been 8 years. And it is where we all come together. We do it virtually. And we talk about client challenges. We talk about what's going on in the company. We talk about the mentors' challenges and new ideas. We collaborate. And it's just such a coming together of brain power. It's like our own mini mastermind, if you think about it. I hadn't thought about it that way till this moment. But it has been a big glue to our culture. There's so much love there and gratitude that, you know, we look forward to the call.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yes. It's a lot of really amazing brains on the team. I mean, super smart, experts in so many different areas. It's amazing. I feel so blessed and fortunate to be around all these amazing colleagues that I have. So.
And thank God for Melissa, because I'm telling you what she does is, yeah, it is so incredible. So, and on our other time, you know, our mentors, but also like on the admin side of our company, on the marketing side of our company, there's, you know, I'm thinking through all the, there's really everybody I just love.
Yes, absolutely. We all do. It's amazing. Okay. So what do you think the biggest dysfunctions of teams are, why they're not thriving? What would you say those dysfunctions are, if you can name them?
Yeah. I mean, and you know, we can talk
back a company from growth, basically.
Yeah. Well, there can be many things, but I'd say first starts with the leader of the company, and any leadership role is that there's an energy that's there. So if I was, you know, unfeeling, if I was controlling, if I was demeaning, negative, well, the energy is, you know, it would
trickle down.
Kind of, yeah. I can't think of the word. All of a sudden, it would trickle down for me. Thank you. And we would start attracting people like that. It wouldn't be a value system that would be positive and supportive. And this happens a lot of time. And not to say that they're bad people, but a lot of times there is a mindset of scarcity, mm-hmm. of negativity, of fear, and it's not always communicated well. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't have my moments of fear and worry, but if I talked about that all of the time, then that's what I'm going to create in my world and the people that I attract. So that's one thing. And the other is that there isn't a sense of empowerment to the team and building the team members up.
Yeah. Creating other leaders within your...
Creating other leaders so that you can step back. I mean, that's really what scaling is all about. If someone comes to you in your company and says, hey, I've got this great idea. And you say, sorry, we've done that before. It just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, hey, thank you, that's so awesome, let me take a look at that. I'm not sure if this fits in what we're doing, but I'm so excited that you brought this to me today. And please continue to bring your ideas. They're important to me.
Yes.
Right? You're not 100% committed that's going to happen, but you're going to definitely examine it, and you make them feel good for being a part of the vision.
Right.
You know, that is critical. And so I think there's that also. I just am not up for negativity or gossip in the company. It doesn't fit our culture at all. And I've had in the past, we've had a couple people on the team that were like that, and they didn't last. They sort of, you know, outed themselves.
Right.
They don't fit within our environment. Yeah. So I think that's it too. But there's other things too. You know, another would be, if you don't have a good system for hiring, like, and you know, it took me a long time to figure this out, but getting clear on what are the roles you do need for your team. And sometimes people try to save money and they try to have five positions in one person. And then this person has expectations that they can never meet. And that lowers their self-esteem. Then there's frustration with the CEO, the leadership team. And it's just such a lose-lose situation. So get clear on the roles that you need and make sure your expectations are communicated clearly. And then, you know, what they expect from you as well. I mean, it's definitely a partnership with your team. And that makes all the difference in the world. And then you will, once you're super clear, it's kind of like how I met Mike as my soulmate. I kept attracting these, you know, in the relationship, somebody that just wasn't a fit, because I, you know, it's like It's like when you're interviewing someone and you're like, oh yeah, they're the one. And then you hire them on the spot without really taking the time to get to know them. You might be attracted, you know, like when you're dating, not when you're hiring, but you're attracted to them, but you're not looking at the whole picture going, oh, is this person really a good fit based on my values, based on what the vision, what your goals are and so forth. So it's kind of similar to that. And I think once you follow that, hire slowly, fire fast.
Yeah.
Most people do it the other way around. That really is a game changer as well, because it starts from the very beginning of, you know, who you're bringing in. And then training is key. Really good training. My dad used to say, you know, there are a lot of really good people out there. You just have to have patience and train them well. You know, and that takes time. I didn't have a training system for things in the early days. So, you know, made lots of mistakes, probably lost some really good people in those days before we had those things in place. But that's part of the phases of scaling and the things that we teach in Pinnacle. This is what we help our clients with.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Agree to all those things. Expectation is super important. And training and onboarding is so important. Like if somebody isn't doing well in the first 3 months, usually 6 months even, I always look at it as, that's what have I done wrong? Like, what have I not taught them properly? Where did I not see what they needed? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, or that, you know, maybe I'm really seeing that they're not a fit for this role. Maybe they need to be in a different position, you know, and so forth together. It takes a little bit of time for someone to get into a rhythm. But absolutely, you know, they have to have the tools. We just expect people to read our minds.
Yeah, right. Yes.
That works so well, you know, and that works so well in relationships too, you know, or like, don't they know what I want and what I'm thinking? Like,
oh, right.
What's the issue here? God. You're not psychic?
It took me so long to figure it out. Okay. All right. So I want to know, what do you think is the biggest myth about business growth?
Oh, that's a good one. I think that this idea that you hear a lot in our culture is just hustle, 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 grind, 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 hustle, 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 work 24 hours a day, and then you will become successful. And hey, we've all done it. I was definitely the workaholic for many years, and all that did was run me into the ground. And even at a time when I was making good money, but I was physically an absolute wreck. If I would have continued at the pace that I was going, I know I wouldn't have made it. I'd have like a heart attack from the kind of pressure that I was giving myself. And what you're doing is like, you're running in place.
Yeah.
When you're doing, like, you're getting sort of ahead, but I mean, you're miserable. I don't care. That's not success to me.
It's not. And I feel like there's just, you know, there just isn't enough time in the day to get everything done. And so at the end of the day, you just have to like say, so what? There's tomorrow. You know, there's
yeah.
a point where you just have to say, I've done as much as I can do today, and tomorrow's mm-hmm. a new day. And now I'm going to do this for myself. You know, now I'm going to have.
Yeah. This you let it go.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. And, you know, that I had to come to terms that with, you know, in the early days when you didn't have a lot going on, you'd finish everything you had. Like your desk was clean. And then I've learned that like, I still have all this stuff and I'm walking away from it. That's true. The other thing too, though, is when you learn to build a team managed company, which again is what we help our clients do, is that you shouldn't be doing, as the CEO, the business owner, you shouldn't be doing probably about 90% of the things that you're working on right now. And once you get clear on what those things are, what is sucking up the most of your time, and what you can delegate or delete, and how to bring those superstars in that are going to take your business to the next level. They're not a spend. They're an investment that actually grow your company. They should pay for themselves when it comes down to it. It's so freeing. because they're going to be able to take it so much further than you could ever do. And they love the things that are draining you.
Right.
That's their superstar. That's their superpower. And then you get to focus on what makes you thrive, and being that visionary. So I think that's critical. And then taking vacations, even if it's just, a staycation or, somewhere. We like to go to Laguna Beach, which is like 45 minutes from here. Drive doesn't have to be a major vacation away, but just stepping away from it. You get inspired, get your head clear. And that's where I get my best ideas. They give us the most growth.
Yes, agreed. And when you're rested and you're able to look at your business from a different perspective, rather than being on that treadmill, that intensity all the time. And I know that we do that. We help our clients do that because I've had several, lovely. I feel so honored that I've been able to be part of that growth and see a client go from, on the treadmill and on the hamster wheel to, oh my gosh, I have time now. I don't even know what to do with myself.
So right. Many of them. I mean, think of Marshall, who had not taken a vacation in 20 years. He came to us. He had 35 employees, but he still had his hands in everything. Now I think he has like 100 employees. He's one of our mentors now. He has like 100 employees. He doesn't even go to the office anymore. He didn't even go on. And I think it was a couple years ago, he had taken his first vacation with his wife. He took a month off and had his biggest month of the company. Or Kristen Donovan, who had not taken a vacation, I think, in 14 years, something crazy like that. And they were a fairly successful business as well in the seven figures, but they were just, their business was running them. And she texted me from Africa with a giraffe behind her, just saying, thank you, Allison. My team is running the company now. I think she did 14 major vacations that year, something like that, like far away, Europe. Anyway, so
it's almost as if we give them permission, it's like sometimes need permission. We shouldn't need permission to take that time off, but.
And the strategy too, because, the business needs to continue to run. So it's like, how do you empower your team? How do you track the people that can do that?
Right.
And that you're not like being CC'd on every email while you're away, that you can actually trust your team has got your back.
Right.
It's life changing. And I would rather see that.
Yeah.
I would think you all would too, instead of that grind 24/7. That's not business to me.
Okay, so I have one last question for you, and that is, what are you most excited about business in the business community now and in Pinnacle Global Network?
There's so many things I'm excited about. Now, when everything went down in March, we were, all the businesses we were helping, we were jumping in the trenches, helping them pivot their business. So I'm really excited about, within our community of business owners in this year of COVID, that they're having, many of them, record months, record years. And we've helped them create new revenue streams that they wouldn't have thought of before, pivoting their businesses. And so as we move into this next year, they're going to keep those revenue streams. Like it's added, it's added this wealth and strength to their business. They're following new demands. So I'm really excited about that, is that just the gains and the strides we've helped our clients have and continue to have. We're having a record year. So, hey, I'm really proud of that and being able to help so many more business owners. What I'm really excited moving forward is we are adding something, and to Pinnacle Global Network, is that when we mentor you as the CEO and you become a member in Pinnacle Global Network, we also mentor your high school, college, or young adults in our, in a program that we've been developing that we're launching next year. And look, the children are our future. And when you show a child like I was shown by my father, the possibilities that you can create your own economy, no matter what is going on in the world, there's nothing more empowering than that. And so I'm so excited to open the door to possibility for these kids, for these young adults. That makes me so excited. And it really is a gift that we're giving back to our clients. And they're so excited about it. So really excited about that.
Yes. It's going to be incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. And just, you know, I'm really just excited about our growth. I'm going to say that again, just because it, Ryan, just get that. I'm going to say that again. I'm just really excited about our growth because we're, you know, going in our 11th year, we're just helping more and more business owners around the world to grow and scale. You can't do it alone. Yeah. You can't do it alone. And it's lonely. You have your same ideas, you know, rolling around in your head, same fears, same strategies. And so to have a team around you to be able to see your business in a new way, it truly is transformational.
And you know, we are in a new economy. I mean, seriously, we are doing business so differently. And the fact that we were able as a company to do that pivot and then help our clients do that, I think is exciting. I know it can be a little bit like, you know, wobbly because nobody's really sure what anything is, but it's, I think the path is clear now that this is a new way for us to do business. And so
it's the future. It's not about going back to the way it was. Now, look, nothing beats giving someone a hug in person. And I'm looking forward to that day. And we will do those live again events in person. Absolutely. But well, first of all, we had already pivoted our coaching to Zoom before COVID. So I'm really grateful for that. Thank goodness. But now we've done several events virtually. And honestly, the way we've been able to do it is so connecting and empowering, and the people are getting great results. So gosh, I don't know. Lots of things that I am really, really excited about. So
good. Well, this was really fun, Allison. I enjoyed this so much.
Yeah, no, we definitely need to do more of this because I would like to have some episodes on the Scale or Fail show. And I would love to hear from some of you that are listening if you enjoyed this episode. And as much as I love highlighting some amazing business experts around the world, and we'll continue to do that, gosh, there's so much that I would love to share. And I would love for you all to meet our incredible team of mentors at Pinnacle Global Network, like Melissa, who's the director of mentoring. That's so savvy in business. So anyway, thanks for hosting me, Melissa.
It was a pleasure. I had fun.
Yeah, totally, totally fun. So thanks for being with us today on the Scale or Fail show. And if you want information about how we mentor business owners in Pinnacle Global Network, definitely reach out to us. You can actually email us at support@pinnaclegn.com, pinnaclegn like global network, .com. And we will answer your questions. You can hop on with one of our mentors and learn about your business and see if Pinnacle Global Network is a fit for you. And like always, get out there and elevate yourself because you are worth it. And until next time, we will see you all soon. Bye, everybody.